Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 46 of Coach Bennett's podcast. 46! Stop that, start this. Or stop this, start that. I think it actually sounds better. Stop that, start this. That's the episode. And it's going to be a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of that's that I think you should stop. And a whole bunch of this is, I think you should start. And I'll tell you what, I think there's a small chance it's going to knock your socks off. Not a big chance, a small chance. So you might just want to take your shoes off just in case. And the reason why I say that is because none of this is groundbreaking. None of this is shocking. But it's maybe the more important stuff that is so obvious. And maybe that's why we overlook it. You know, the obvious stuff we tend to overlook. Like if you were running in a forest and I said, tell me a little bit about the trees, you'd probably be like, I don't really remember the trees. I do remember that there was a red fire hydrant because that stood out and that wasn't so obvious. It was seemingly out of place, but the trees, I can't even tell you, you know, I don't even remember what kind of trees there were. Now there are some of you, some arborists that are probably like, I could tell you about the trees. You just relax, just sit this one out and just go with me. All right, I'm trying to make a point. And the point is, the most obvious, the simplest things many times for us to do to help us get better, to incorporate into our training or our day, are often the ones that just get overlooked. Like I said, because they're obvious or maybe they're just too simple. I don't know. But that's what we're going to go through today. And now this is why I like doing this. And if you've been listening to the show, I mentioned at the beginning, episode 46, and I think it's really episode 48. Like if you include some of the other episodes, like the special Nike Cross Nationals episode. Anyway, the point is, if you've been listening, then you know one of my favorite things to do as a coach is to not ask you to do more at first. It's really just to ask you to do what you're already doing. Just do it better. That's all. And that's a great way to start pretty much anything that you're doing or improve upon something you're already doing, is look at the things in your life you already do and then say, how can I do that better? For instance, the first stop that, start this, has to do with mindset. So what we're going to start with is me telling you is stop being such a total, complete, gigantic turd to yourself. Just stop. It doesn't help. If you have a mindset where you think in order for you to get through a tough situation, you need to be a jerk to yourself, if you believe that in order to feel inspired, you need to diminish who you are or what you're trying to do, if you think the best way to get you to improve where you are is to mock or humiliate where you currently are, well, here's a little bit of a tip. Stop that. It doesn't help. It doesn't. And I'll tell you what, this small little shift, which is just not being a turd to yourself, is going to make everything you're doing less hard. I'm not saying it's going to make all of your running easier. What it's going to do is make it less hard because you're making it harder by being a turd to yourself. So if you just start with your mindset, which by the way, doesn't take the physical energy that a 10K does. It doesn't take the physical energy that, let's say, a speed workout does. Okay, so I'm not asking you to incorporate or add all of this physical stress in your life, but it will take work mindfully. it will take a mental effort and it will be hard to do. But this hard thing will make everything else a little bit easier, okay? And it's something that you can work on every single time you go for a run. It's something you can work on when you wake up. It's something you can work on when you're putting your little adorable little head down to sleep. It's something you can work on when you're sitting in traffic. It's something you can do when you're just walking to get the mail, because your mind is always active. And what you can do is you can just check in every once in a while and say, how am I doing mindset-wise? Am I being a good teammate to myself? Am I beating myself up? Or am I lifting myself up? Because you can think that, oh, by beating myself up, I'm getting to where I need to be. Well, you know, but once you get up there, you're beat up. Why would you do that? Why don't you just support yourself, lift yourself up, you know, help yourself climb up there. So when you get up there, you're not beat up. But what often happens, what people don't realize, as they're in the process of what they think is beating themselves up, what you're really doing, short term, yeah, maybe you're heading up. Long term, you're beating yourself down. And it's just, it's mindset is super, super important. I'm telling you, it's super important. It's just one of the reasons why I started with it. You know what I mean? But that's something you can work on. And it's something that you don't need to schedule. You can just work on it when you want to work on it. It can be in the middle of a presentation you're giving at work. You don't have to be at practice to work on this. How are you supporting yourself? What is your mindset like before the presentation, during the presentation, after the presentation? What is your mindset as you're getting critical information back on how you did? How are you showing up for yourself mindfully throughout the day? And then what you realize is you're practicing this all the time. So when it comes time to go to running practice or do your run, your long run, your easy run, your intervals, your fartlek, your tempo run, you've been working on this. It's something you can work on all the time. Are you developing a healthier, stronger mindset? There you go. Now, how cool is that? You know what I mean? The answer is, it's really cool. I think it's really great. Now, here's another thing that you can work on immediately. And my stop that is stop training like an idiot. Yeah, that's, I mean, I guess this one's a little bit more complicated than just that, but it's really not. You know, my wife and I, Tammy, we had a sleepaway cross-country camp every summer for I think about 6 or 7 summers in a row, and it was about 200 to 250 kids, depending on the year. And on opening night, we'd get everyone together, we'd introduce the counselors, we'd talk a little bit about the schedule, then it would be time to lay down the ground rules. And our ground rules were really simple, very, very simple. I mean, basically what we said was you got to be on time, okay? When you finish your run, you got to sign in. And then it was, don't be a jackass. Don't be a jackass. Now, I know other camps would have just dozens of rules. You got to be in your cabin at this point. You've got to do this on the road. You've got to just don't be a jackass. We're going to be telling you things throughout camp. Your cabin counselor is going to tell you when you need to be back in the cabin. You're going to have a set, obviously, of ground rules that are very straightforward that you're going to hear throughout camp. Guess what? Don't be a jackass. Just do what you need to do. And don't be a jackass. There's gray area, I think, in almost everything. Not everything, but almost everything. And at a camp, there's some gray area. But just don't be a jackass. And it's the same thing with your training. Don't be an idiot. And if your mindset's right and in a good place and healthy, then it's going to be much easier to do this part, the don't be an idiot. Stop being an idiot with your training. Start being smart with your training. It's much easier if your mindset's in the right place. I'll give you a few examples. Okay, so the idea that more is better, and I get it, I understand it, it's not true, but I understand it. The fact that people think that it's always more that's going to get you more better. For instance, you know, at least let me maybe rewind and talk about where it usually comes from, this concept of more is better. When you start running, you're not running that much. You're not running many minutes, not many meters, not many miles. The diversity of your training, it's not very diverse. Where you get to run probably is limited because you're not doing much. But as the days start to pile on, as the weeks start to accumulate, as the months start to roll by, what happens? The volume tends to increase. The type of training you're doing gets diversified. So now it's not just short, easy runs. Now suddenly there's some longer runs and there's some, you know, mid-distance type runs. There's different types of speed runs. There's different purposes to the runs. There's different goals with the runs. There's different paces with the runs. So there's more of just about everything. And you can convince yourself that that is the answer. It's always going to be about more minutes. It's always going to be about more miles, more meters, more runs, more speed, more intensity. But you see, that's not actually true. It is not this like line that goes straight up into the air. And it's not even like a pyramid where it's a little bit on an angle. It's not even like a ziggurat where it's like a stepped pyramid. It's a little bit of some up and some down and some, you know, sideways and then some up and then some down and then some down and then a little bit of sideways and then up, up, up. There's fluctuations. There's undulations, okay? There are ups and there's downs and there's sideways all mixed in there. So the idea that there's always going to be more, people can get trapped into that and think, in order for me to get better, what I need to do is more of, and it's usually only minutes, meters, miles, intensity. And what they don't realize is that it actually could be more days off, more easy miles, minutes, or meters. It could be more sleep. It could be more hydration. It could be more laughter. It could be all sorts of things. So the key is for you to really make sure you have a well-rounded approach to your training. And you also have to understand that it's not always more. Well, let me say it probably is always more. It may not be more of what you're thinking. And that's where people start to train like an idiot when they think it's only more meters, minutes, mile, intensity. That's not the case. Sometimes it is a day off. That is the best possible thing for you to do if you want to progress forward. If you want to progress backwards in the wrong direction, regress, then yeah, maybe it is more minutes, meters, miles, or intensity. But you have to think, what am I actually trying to accomplish here? Am I trying to get better or worse? Am I trying to get more worse or more better, really? And if you're trying to get more worse, then yeah, train like an idiot. Don't take those days off. Don't listen to your body. Constantly think it's go hard or go home, no pain, no gain. Like those are just such stupid catchphrases. There's a reason why they're on a poster and they're not being said by great athletes, okay? No pain, no gain. Now, sometimes it's going to be really hard. Sometimes the purpose of a run is to be really difficult. Sometimes the purpose is for you to struggle. But remember, great running is dependent on great recovery. It's a constant relationship between that. Running, recovery, hard, easy, intensity, relaxation, recovery, work. Those are the dynamics that you're always trying to make work together better. So simply not being an idiot with your training is a great way to get better. And again, what am I asking you? I'm just asking you to pay attention to yourself. I'm asking you to learn about the sport and really, most importantly, learn about the athlete. The athlete is you. Keep that running journal. Pay attention. Figure out what works. Figure out what doesn't work. And then maybe try to figure out why something doesn't work. Because maybe you're just doing something the wrong way. Or maybe it was at the wrong time or in the wrong way. Did I say that twice? I think I did. Whatever. The point is, pay attention. Listen. Because if you can do that, stop training like an idiot and start training smart. You're going to run better. Smart runners run better. And not only do they run better long term, which is the key. Long term. That's where you get great progression. Anyone can train like an idiot and run well in the short term. But if you're looking for real gains, if you're looking to get closer and closer to your best, then it's a long run, metaphorically speaking. So train smart. Now, let me also just do this in here. I'm going to say stop taking dumb risks and start taking smart risks. I think this is a good time to talk about that because you're going to have to take some risks sometime. But there's a difference between a smart risk and a dumb risk. And a lot of this sometimes comes with fitness jumps where people are running, things are going really, really well. And sometimes you have to actually stop. And this is why you keep a running journal or a running log or a running diary. You have to stop and actually look and say, wow, I think I've made a fitness jump that's bigger than what I assumed I was going to make. I think I need to adjust my training a little bit. And it could be picking up the pace on those easy days. It could be adding a little bit of volume or maybe not so much volume to the individual runs. Maybe it's adding an extra day of running. Those are the right types of risks you want to take in your training. It's adding some elements of strength training now that you've gotten to a point where you're strong enough to do the foundational things. You're always trying to look for places, like I mentioned, to do more. But as I already mentioned, also, you just have to make sure it's more of the right things. And sometimes it's more risks. It's smart risks based on what's happening, on what's real. What happens sometimes is people take risks they don't need to take because they're not based on anything. I'll give you an example. I consider it a risk when you're supposed to go out and do an easy run and you say, you know what? I felt good, so I just hammered. Okay, well, I mean, I get it. That's fine. I've done it before too. I'm guessing we're not doing the speed run that was scheduled tomorrow though. And they're like, well, why? Well, it's because you said you hammered today. Well, yeah, but I felt good. Yeah, I know you felt good, but you hammered. It doesn't matter how you felt. You ran really hard. The intensity was really high. We're basing tomorrow's workout off low intensity today, that you are really recovered, rested enough that we can actually hammer, run hard, increase the intensity tomorrow. Now, without that conversation, which is a coach-athlete conversation, a lot of athletes just won't have it. And what they'll do is they'll hammer an easy run because they felt good and just dismiss it as if, well, it was a freebie. Doesn't matter. The intensity doesn't matter. What I did doesn't matter. As if the distance doesn't matter or the duration doesn't matter. But for some reason, we can just pretend like, well, I felt good, so I ran hard and it'll be fine. I'll be okay tomorrow. And maybe it will be okay in the speed run. Yeah. But the thing is here is you've now run hard 2 days in a row. So I'm just wondering, where are we recovering? So I guess we're backing off dramatically on your next recovery run. Are we just taking a day off? Like, these are risks that are stupid if you are not taking into account you took a risk on your easy run. Now, the right kind of risk might be, hey, I feel like I've had a fitness jump. My easy runs are starting to feel super, super, super easy at the paces I've been running. I think what I can do is either extend out the run duration-wise or distance-wise, my recovery runs, and maintain the pace. Or what I'll do is I'll keep the duration or distance, but I think I'm going to run a little bit quicker, a little bit quicker. And anytime you're structuring a recovery run or a long run, remember, there's a gray area. I'm going to make something up. Like maybe on average, it takes you 5-minute Ks or 9-minute miles to do a recovery run, to average that kind of pace and recover, okay? And again, sometimes you feel good, so maybe it's like, you know, 450 Ks, and sometimes it's 845 miles, and sometimes you're a little sluggish, so maybe it's 510 Ks or 515 Ks or 920, 930 miles. There's always a gray area on each side, but maybe you're shifting that middle number, that 5 minutes and 9 minutes, and it's now suddenly, I think what I'm going to be trying to shoot for in the big picture over the next couple of weeks is averaging more like 450, 455. But I'm going to maintain the normal progression with my distance and duration, but I'm going to just pick up the pace a little bit because the intensity won't be picked up. I'm still going to be running with the effort I should be running with. It's just that I've had a fitness jump. So I can maintain the effort. I can maintain the intensity of my normal recovery run, even though I'm picking up the pace. And I can thank just the fitness jump for that. That's a calculated risk. That's a risk anytime, by the way, you're making adjustments in the training. There's a risk involved. Every time you go for a run, there's a risk involved. That's it. Anytime, that's what's waiting for you on the other side of a starting line with no guarantees. There's a risk. There's always a risk. With every training plan, there's a risk, which is why having that conversation with yourself as a coach and an athlete is so important. And it's okay to look at it. And by the way, it's really good to acknowledge that, because it's pretty badass that every day you take some risks in your running. Is this going to help me? Is this going to hinder my progression? Am I paying attention to myself? Am I pushing a little bit too hard? Am I not pushing enough? Because that's a risk there too. You're not getting as close to your potential as you could be because you're not taking the risk you need to take on the upside. Instead, you're risking on the downside. So there's always a risk in there. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, acknowledge the fact that you're a badass, all right? So my point here is stop taking dumb risks. Start taking smart risks, all right? Now, I'm going to rip off a couple of things that are so obvious. In fact, I've already spoken about them on numerous podcasts, but guess what? You know what coaching is? It's a lot like running. It's redundant, right? Left stride, right stride. Me telling you great truths, foundational things in coaching that every athlete should not only know, but should be reminded of. Remember what I said at the beginning? A lot of times the most obvious things are overlooked. So I'm going to bring this up because I just went through a couple of days where my sleep was all over the place, not very good. There was traveling, a couple of late nights, and I'll tell you what, everything suffered as a result. Everything suffered as a result of me not getting halfway decent sleep. Now, I'm not going to tell you to sleep X hours. What I'm going to say is whatever amount of hours you sleep, make them better. Improve upon the sleep you're getting. I'm not going to go in there and say you need to go from 8 hours to 10 hours. I don't know where you're going to find those extra 2 hours because I'm just going to assume your day is filled up. I can't create a 25th and 26th hour. So if you're getting 6 hours of sleep, yeah, would it be great for you to get 8? Of course. If you can get 8, go for it. If you can't, then make those 6 hours better. Make those 6 hours of sleep better. And there are a whole bunch of things that you can do. So stop sleeping poorly. Start sleeping better. And there's just little things like don't booze a couple hours before sleep. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to have some beers or something, have the last one hours before you sleep. Because it really does affect your REM, your REM sleep, your rapid eye movement, you know, where you're that deepest sleep. It becomes very superficial, okay? You want deep end sleep. Like visually, if you're thinking about like sleep, you want deep end of the pool sleep. You know what I mean? Like you can't even touch the bottom of the pool sleep. You don't want baby pool sleep. You know what I mean? For a host of reasons. Who wants to sleep in that? It's like a bacteria pool. I mean, good God. The kids are peeing in there. The adults that are playing with their kids. Let's be honest. You know it. And the adults know it. The adults are peeing in the baby pool too. They're kind of doing that little like float with their kid. They're peeing in there. Everyone's peeing in there. It's disgusting. You don't want that sleep. You want deep end of the pool sleep where those adults and those kids respect the pool. They're using the bathroom before they get in, or they're getting out and using the bathroom and then coming back in. I've gone off on a tangent here that's kind of gross. I'm just going to stop. The point is, there's a whole host of things you can do. Make your room darker. Get a routine. Don't booze before you go to sleep. Try to keep your room nice and cold. There's just a number of things you can do to make your sleep better. And if you can make that 6 hours of sleep better, everything gets better. Everything gets better. That's one of the cool things about sleep. A good sleep makes everything better. You're sharper, more focused, more relaxed. It's easier to deal with stress. You have more energy. Your running's going to improve. Everything improves when you get a good sleep. And when do we recover our best? While we sleep. So if you are trying to get better at running, one of the best ways of getting better at running without running more is sleeping better. So I know I talk about it all the time, but it's worth talking about all the time. Why wouldn't I talk about it all the time? Who doesn't want to hear that? It's you want to get better at running and you don't have time to run more, or the intensity is where it should be, the mileage is where it should be, everything's where it should be. How are you possibly going to get better? Sleep better. There you go. It's awesome. Which leads me to my other one. Stop being dehydrated. Start being hydrated. Now, this doesn't mean you got to be carrying around a gallon jug of water. What it means is you just need to be hydrated all the time. And you got to figure out what works best for you. Maybe it is the gallon jug of water. Maybe it's having just a water bottle. And every time you go by a water fountain, you fill it up and you're drinking throughout the day. People ask me, especially as we get closer to summer, how much should they be drinking on a run to stay hydrated? And I say, well, let's not start there. Let's actually start with the rest of the day. The easiest way to stay hydrated on a run is to be hydrated before the run, okay? Like, that's the easiest thing. If you're not drinking enough water before the run, we're already doing ourselves a disservice. So let's not start with the run. Let's start with all of that other time where you're not running. Are you drinking enough? And my easiest tip, which I'm sure you've heard me say before, is just pound a pint of water first thing in the morning when you wake up. First thing. Don't have your cup of coffee first, or your tea, or whatever it is that you have. Have a water. Have a full pint of water. If you slept 6 hours, you just went 6 hours without drinking water. And that's assuming you had water right before you fell asleep. So let's assume you had no water for an hour before you fell asleep. You just went 7 hours without drinking anything. There is no other part of your day, I hope, where you went 7 hours without drinking anything. So the easiest thing to do is just wake up, have a pint glass right next to your bed, filled with water, and before you get out of bed, just drink it. Or if you don't have a nightstand, or you don't trust yourself because you think you're going to like knock it down or something like that, that's fine too. Just get up, and while you're making your coffee or making something to eat or putting on the news or starting your day by reading, I like to do that, just fill up a glass of water and drink it. It will change your day if that's not how you start your day, and it will change your day for the better. But it'll also hopefully kickstart a habit of staying hydrated. Okay, not getting into those days, hours where you're dehydrated for sometimes really silly reasons. It's not always like you went for a run and it was a long run and it was hot and you're a sweater and you know now you're dehydrated. Like a lot of times it's just, no, you just don't drink enough water during the day. You just don't. So drink enough water during the day. Stop being dehydrated. Start being hydrated. It's going to help, and not just with running. It's going to help with everything. You're just going to be a cooler cat if you're hydrated. You know what I mean? I think you do. All right, another one. Stop not eating enough. Start eating enough. And I'm not going to get into really what you should eat. And that's not what this is going to be about. At some point, we'll do something on nutrition. My point is, from a coaching point of view, I want you to eat enough. Just eat enough. Just eat enough. We can worry about what you're eating later. I'd rather you just eat enough, and I really don't care what you're eating at this point. I'd rather you eat enough, period, than not eat enough. That's number one. Let's start there. Then, once you're eating enough, guess what? Add healthier stuff. Like, think about what you want. Like, for me right now, I'll tell you what I want. I desperately want, because it's been a couple days since I've had it, I want buffalo wings, and I want a slice of pepperoni pizza, which is really mean me saying I want two slices of pepperoni pizza and I want buffalo wings. That's what I want, and some French fries. Okay, I mean, that's me. That's what I want right now. So that's going to be enough for one of my meals for sure. Okay, what I could do is I could say I'm going to have a salad, because I love salad. So that's healthy. And I can have lots of different greens in there and some carrots and cucumbers and celery. I don't really like cooked vegetables. I love raw vegetables. And I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of cheese on there because I love me my cheese. And I'm going to put some dressing on there. And I'm going to eat this epic salad. Maybe we'll have some red peppers in there. I like that too. Point is, I'm going to eat that salad. Then I'm going to eat my other stuff. So I just added something to what I'm already eating. I still want my wings. I still want that pizza. And I still want my fries. But I'm adding something healthier in there. To me, that's how I like to operate. I like to add good things to what I'm doing. For some reason, I hear people say stuff like, well, you know, you're running now. You shouldn't have wings and pizza and French fries. And it's like, well, you just made me like running less because I really like doing this. And you know what? I will. Once I start running more, once I start developing the habit of running, once I get more consistent, once the running becomes a bigger and bigger deal to me, and I start getting passionate about it and nerding out about it, you know what's probably going to happen? I'm probably going to say, I'm going to have that salad, and I'm going to have the wings. I don't know if I'm going to have the fries. I may actually have a potato. And you know what? Instead of the pepperoni pizza, I think I'm going to have a slice of cheese and a slice of pepperoni. I just, you know, I think it's just better with my stomach and with the run. I got a long run tomorrow. I start making decisions on eating healthier, but eating enough and healthier. That's the key. Focus on that. It is fuel, not just food. It is both. So you need enough fuel to power this badass machine that you are. So instead of focusing on what you're keeping off your plate, don't do that. Focus on some cool things you can add to the plate, healthy things you can add to your plate, and then just eat those first. That's what I like to do. Whatever healthy stuff I'm adding to my plate, I eat that first. Then I dog the other stuff. So stop not eating enough. Start eating enough. Because I'll tell you what, if you're someone out there who's not fueling enough, by fueling enough, you are going to feel so much better on those runs. And just like hydration and just like sleep, it will affect everything. You will focus better. You will have more strength. You will be more powerful. You will be more you. So stop not eating enough. Start eating enough. All right, I got two more. Okay, stop stressing negatively so much. Start stressing more positively. And this is a little bit more complicated maybe than the other things, because here's the thing. The reality is we have stressors in our life, both positive and negative. Running is a positive stressor. At least it should be a positive stressor. It should not be a negative stressor in your life. Running should not make you anxious, make you feel worse about yourself. It should not beat you up mentally, mindfully, emotionally, spiritually. It should lift you up. It should make you feel more of who you are, more holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y-U. Running should make you feel better, okay, about yourself. It should be a reason to power this awesome creature that you are around, and it should be a reason to celebrate, even when you struggle. It should not be a negative stressor. Now, there are negative stressors in our life. There are stressful situations that we have to go through. What I'm asking of you is to find ways to deal with those negative stressors in a healthier way. And sometimes it is talking to people. Could be a friend, could be a teammate, could be a coach, could be a family member, could be a therapist. It could be cutting out negative stressors in your life. And sometimes negative stressors are people. You know what I mean? So it could be having a conversation with somebody and saying, listen, you are only adding negative stress in my life. So either you change or this relationship is done. It could be making sure that certain things in your life that are supposed to be positive stressors are in fact positive stressors and not negative ones. I gave you the example of running. If you're looking at running as a punishment or a penance, I'll tell you what, if you can deal with that and turn it into a positive experience as a purpose-driven experience that adds joy to your life, that gives you confidence, if you can turn running into an excuse to celebrate what you've accomplished by crossing a starting line and making your way to a finish line, well, not only obviously is your relationship with running going to change, your life's going to change. because you now have something that is fundamental in your life that is helping you and not hindering you. Because like I said, if running is a negative stressor, it means you are in the red after every run. Physically sometimes, emotionally, mindfully. Even though running can be difficult and a struggle, and sometimes it really is supposed to exhaust you emotionally, mindfully, spiritually, you should be in a better place. You should have made something, increased something from the run when it comes to that, you know, tabulation or accounting sheet, emotional, mindful, mental, spiritual. It should be a positive stressor, not a negative one. So look at those parts of your life, those people in your life, and say, okay, am I better, stronger, more powerful because of? And then if the answer is yes, fantastic. If not, you either have to adjust the relationship, change the relationship in some way, or maybe you just have to end that relationship. I'll tell you what, it's like fueling and hydrating emotionally. You know what I mean? When you can fix some of those stressors in your life or deal with them in a better way. And listen, I know some of these things, it's tough, it's hard, which is why sometimes you got to ask for help. All right. And it is never a sign of weakness to ask for help. It is always a sign of strength to ask for help. All right. Last one, more running, less training. Now, this is my way of saying stop training so much and start running more. And here's the difference. Training sometimes can be so serious. And I think the best way to describe what I'm trying to tell you actually is to talk about racing. The last couple of weeks have been some marathons and half marathons all over the world. The next couple of weeks, same thing. Half marathons and marathons all over the place. It's spring marathon season, so I'm having lots of conversations with lots of people. And one of the pieces of advice that I give people before they get on a starting line for any race is you never race the entire race when it comes to a distance race, something like a half marathon or a marathon. We'll use the marathon as an example. You're never racing all 42.2K. You're not. You're running hard for long stretches. And then when running hard becomes too hard, you suddenly need to race. You need to throw your focus in there. You need to be all in. But you're not all in at 1K or 5K. At least you shouldn't be. It's a 42K long race. Why are you that intense 16 minutes into a 2.5, 3.5, 4.5, 5 hour race? It's the same thing with your running. It doesn't matter if you're training for a race or just training for life. Most of your running should just be running. It doesn't have to be this intense, super serious training. Your easy runs, calm down. They're recovery runs. They're easy runs. You know what the purpose is. You know what the expectations are. You know that easy isn't a pace. It's an effort. Relax. The speed runs, they should be fun. I'm not saying they're going to be easy to do, but sometimes the most challenging stuff, the hardest stuff, is the most fun. And guess what? If the hardest stuff, the most challenging stuff, is the most fun, you're going to do the hardest and most challenging stuff better. But sometimes it really is just our perception of what we're doing. It's training. I must be focused. I must be serious. You can be serious about your training and still have fun. The difference is a lot of that training simply becomes you playing running. It doesn't mean the quality diminishes. It doesn't mean the purpose changes. What it means is you have more fun. You're more relaxed. You haven't forgotten why you're doing what you're doing, which is hopefully you're doing this to become better, a better runner in various different metrics. It doesn't always have to do with the clock. It could even be you just want to get better at enjoying the sport, learning about the sport, being a part of the sport. And guess what? All of these these goals, these purposes, they don't have to be separate. They can be lumped in with, I want to run the race as fast as I can, or I want to qualify for X, or I want to do this in my age group. You can have all of that stuff and still play running, still have more fun running. You're not robbing yourself of performance by having more fun. You're not robbing yourself of performance by playing the sport as opposed to working out. You know what I mean? So stop training and start playing. All right? Jeez. So that's it. Look down. Are your socks still on your feet? Or did I knock them right off? Did I blow your socks right off your feet? And I might have. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes we forget these things. Like they're just the simplest things and we just forget them. And I'll tell you what, by we, I am most definitely including me in this. I mean, I just told you I had this travel and I could have slept better. I absolutely could have slept better. And I let a couple of days pile onto each other. And then I was like, wait, why do I feel so crappy? Why is my attention span so short? Why am I having a hard time focusing? Why am I getting a little snippy with the people around me that do not deserve my snippiness? And it was, oh, I've had like 4 straight days of bad sleep. And looking back on it, I have not really been hydrating at all. I mean, I traveled, I was on a plane, I forgot to bring water on the plane. And then all they give you is like a shot glass of water. And I should have been drinking water after that and really making a point to wake up in the morning and drink some water. And I didn't do that. And then my eating was a little funky. I wasn't eating enough. So now I'm overtired, dehydrated, and I'm hungry. So I was not like the best person to be around. And I also didn't feel great. I just didn't feel great. And you know what happens? You lose motivation. You lack inspiration. And we wonder why it's so hard to get out the door and get over a starting line. Are you kidding? Give me a break. You know, my mindset was all out of whack. But guess what? I got a big water bottle right here. I'm ready to pound some of it, but I've been doing that all day long. It's sunny. I feel pretty darn good. That's right. I said darn. Yep, darn good. And that's the show. That's the show. And I want to thank you for listening. And I want to thank you for sharing this episode with some of your running geek friends. Because everyone needs to be reminded of these things. And they need to be reminded a couple times a year. Yeah, you do. I know I do. I mean, I get benefit out of this because when I'm writing it down, like, hey, make sure you're hitting on these things, it's reminding me what to do. It's funny, as I was writing down the hydration part, I literally stopped, got up, filled my water bottle, and drank some of it. So I was like, man, I haven't had water in a little bit. You need to remind yourself of the most obvious things. Remember what I said at the beginning. It's like actually paying attention to the trees in the forest. Yes, you know they're there, but did you see them? Did you acknowledge them? Did you pay attention to them? Did you see a couple of those glorious, gnarly trunks that we ran by? You probably didn't, but they were there and they were beautiful. Just like these things I talked about today. Mindset, not being an idiot with your training, taking the right kind of risks, sleep, hydration, eating enough, less of the negative stress, and more playing and less training. That's right. Stop that. Start these things. And if you do that, you're going to start running better and you're going to start having better days, more importantly. Okay? So, thanks for listening to episode 46. Thank you for sharing this episode with your running geek friends and your non-running geek friends. They can benefit from this too. If you have a chance, I would love for you to leave a review. I would love for you to subscribe to the show. And I would love for you to drop some mail to the mailbag, because in the next couple of episodes, we are opening that bag back up and we are going to be answering your questions. It is time. We are overdue. The mail has backed up. We are getting into it. So until next time, you take care of yourself and you take care of each other. And I'll meet you on the next starting line. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, well, I really wish you would, because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes, because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter, as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter, whatever that dumpster fire is called today, you'll find a link to it because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening, and until next time, take care of yourself.